Are you willing to admit that you are a sinner? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, they're driving you crazy, you're ready to scream, pull your hair out, or say something really wrong, bad to them, hey, remember the words from the musical Les Miserables. One of the songs in the musical has these words: to love another person is to see the face of God. That's not easy, is it? It's not easy to see the face of God in somebody who's irritating you, somebody who's taking you for granted. Somebody who is always whining. Somebody who's trying to get you to do their work when they don't want to do their work. Somebody who is not responding to your love the way you would hope. Not easy to see the face of God in another person. But that's what we're called to do. That's why I often use the phrase, we're called to be domestic mystics. A mystic has a unique experience of God. And we can do that, perhaps not with all the fireworks or with all the extraordinary, special intervention by God in our life. But nonetheless, if you're at a point in your life where you can recognize God in other people, wow, you are definitely, in my book, you definitely qualified to be a domestic mystic. Today's scripture passage is, again, a very, very short passage. It comes from John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 7, 8, and 9. Now, I need to set the scene for you, okay? You'll recognize it right away, because that famous story about the woman who's caught in the very act of adultery, she, not the guy, she's dragged to Jesus. They tell Jesus that the law says she should be stoned. Jesus bends down on the ground and writes, he's not even looking at the woman because they're looking at her with such hate and disgust and maybe even lust. They keep on pressuring Jesus. Okay, here's verse 7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first. All right. So, you see what Jesus does? He cuts right away to the important issue. He's not saying the woman's not a sinner. He's not justifying her actions. But he's saying to the people who are condemning her. It would be the men. It would have been the men who dragged the woman in front of Jesus. He's saying, you know, be careful when you point a finger at somebody, because there's three fingers pointing back at you. And if you can stand here and say to me, you've never committed a sin in your life, well, you can be the first to throw a stone. And then he stoops down again. Won't have eye contact. Won't I have eye contact with them? Because his eyes would be so piercing, they would wither as he looks right through them, and they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he knows that they're sinners. And at this point, he doesn't even want to look at the woman yet. That's common, as you know from the story. Right now, he doesn't want to look at the woman because he doesn't want to give her any indication that he's part of this mass crowd mentality that wants to lynch her. You know, it takes real humility to admit that you're a sinner. It actually takes some freedom to be able to admit that you're a sinner. What do I mean by that? Well, in admitting that you're a sinner, you still know that that's not the whole story about your life. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm also a beloved daughter or son of the Father. So yes, I'm free to admit I'm a sinner because the truth will set us free, and I am a sinner. The truth is that I'm a sinner. But I'm also somebody who's capable of great love, who's capable of heroic activity. Maybe I've buried that, but I'm capable of that. And once I am willing to admit that I'm a sinner, it's like another whole dynamic, another whole part of my life starts surfacing. Maybe a part of my life that I've neglected for a long time. It starts surfacing. And we can admit that we're a sinner, and we cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you know the powerful things that Jesus can do in our life when we cry out like that? He said, I've come for those who need a doctor, not those who don't. You know, we get individual attention when we say to Jesus, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus starts working big and little miracles in our life. Jesus prepares us perhaps to minister to other people who are on the verge of despair because they think their sin is unforgivable. Once we freely admit that we're a sinner, we can begin to grow again. Because we got plateaued, we got fixated at a certain stage in our spiritual growth because of our sin. And we didn't allow ourselves to experience the power of God. Wow, you admit you're a sinner. Then amazing grace, how sweet thou art, comes into our life and can get us from being stuck. We all get stuck somewhere in our life out of fear, out of selfishness. And God just comes to us and he pulls us out of the quicksand. He pulls us away from the flypaper. And he frees us. And then once we're freed, the growth process, wow, the growth process starts happening at a rapid fire. You know, if we freely admit we're a sinner, and just don't do that with our lips, but do that with our whole being because we realize that we're sinners, you know another wonderful thing that happens in our life? We're less likely to judge people. I mean, that's what Jesus was going after when he said to the men who dragged the woman to him who was caught in a very act of adultery. You know? You are not to be her judge. God is her judge. You're not to stand above her in such a self-righteous posture, because you're a sinner. You know, once we admit that we're sinners, then, you know, our interaction with people is from the same level as they, and not from some arrogant, higher position. And the last thing I want to say about the ability to admit that you're a sinner, when you do that, it gives you the constant realization of how much you need Jesus, how much you need the loving Father, the Father of the prodigal son, the Father of the prodigal daughter. In other words, once we're willing to admit that we're sinners, Jesus can come into our life and be the Savior. Do for us what he loves to do. Forgive us. A great personal price, right? His death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. And his crucifixion was no cakewalk. We know that. He was beaten terribly. Carried a heavy cross to Golgotha. Crucified. Hung there for a number of hours. Shouldn't that elicit a thank you from us? A thank you, Jesus, for dying and rising to save me from my sins. It should, you know. When it does, we take another giant step in holiness. When it does, we take another giant step in solidarity with our brothers and sisters because they're sinners like we are. So I really want to encourage you not to be afraid of admitting that you're a sinner. Because when you admit you're a sinner, you're opening the doors of your heart to Jesus Christ. You're opening up your life to forgiveness, or as we would call new life, to reconciliation. to, you're opening up a panorama of ways that God will use you to minister to other people. I mean, we hear it all the time. Incredible conversion stories. People who were so, so far away from God, and they had this major conversion, and after their conversion, humbly, they're very humble. God uses them in a powerful way. He'll do that for you, and He'll do it for me if we let Him. It's our call. Today's prayer partner is ophthalmologists. These are the doctors, the MDs, who deal with our eye problems, who tell us when the cataract is ready to come off, who help us deal with infections of the eyes or allergies to the eyes. Seems as you get older, you have more and more allergies. And when your eyes are bothering you, it's tough, right? Hard to be in bright light, sometimes hard to read, hard to watch television. Please pray for ophthalmologists today. All right, today's food for thought comes from a man named Steve Irwin. Used to be known as the crocodile hunter. He says this, "I was born and raised with crocodiles. They are a piece of cake. But kids are so unpredictable." Yeah, I tell you what, if you're raising kids, hey, all of your talents will be challenged. All of your wisdom will be challenged. All of your patience and all of your forgiveness. Because kids are unpredictable. See if I can make you smile or laugh, okay? Steve Wise submitted this to a magazine. True story. "The cries from upstairs told my friend that her identical twin granddaughters, Liz and Beth, were arguing. What's wrong? She asked. Between sobs, listen to this, Liz told her, Beth said I was ugly. They're identical twins. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Drop me a note. Let me know you listened to the program. Tell me what you like. You can send me suggestions. What you want to hear about. If you use the internet, you can send your suggestions, your prayer intentions, because I want you to know that I always storm heaven over people's prayer intentions. You can send it via email. You can go to my website, fatherscott.com, spell out Father, and get my email address. You can do it that way. If you want to receive my newsletter, comes out, no charge, 6 times a year, you can let me know. You can send me some financial support to help my hospital way down in Oaxaca, Mexico, in southern Mexico, one of the poorest places in the country. You help me keep it open. Make the check to TASH, Inc., Tash, Inc., and send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. May God bless you for your kindness. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.